putting kids in school during a pandemic, but also keeping them at home when they need to be learning in person. You know, I don't feel any differently about this virus today than I did 5 months ago. There was a time 5 months ago where I would not have thought my little guys would go to school. But I have both of them in school now. And the reason is because, as a family, my wife and I weighed the pros and cons. And whatever we were gaining in terms of safety from keeping them at home, we were losing in terms of sanity and also productivity. Like, my little boys are now on a schedule. You know, they're waking up every morning. They're getting dressed every day. I can't tell you how many times over the past 6 months, like, my little boys will wake up in pajamas, and it'd be 3 in the afternoon. They'd still be in pajamas. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going anywhere, so let's just run around, play on iPads all day. And so to now have structure and in-person learning and friends, like, I'm not trying to pretend that the pandemic's over, so let's get back to normal. But, like, having my little guys at home every day was not good. It was not healthy. And so the only place I would maybe take issue with the Shelby County Health Department is not having Shelby County schools open for in-person learning with safety precautions, but still open for in-person learning. But outside of that, I'm just going to trust that what they say is the right thing to do. They know more about it than I do. And if they say that we only need 6 feet of social distancing at football games now, then that's what I'll say too.
Story number four.
Rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen, the iconic guitarist and founder of one of the biggest rock acts of all time. Van Halen is dead at the age of 65. He had throat cancer that had spread to his brain and other parts of his body. And apparently his health had taken a drastic turn the wrong way in recent days. And he died in a hospital in Santa Monica. His son, Wolf Van Halen, who had become the bassist of Van Halen, announced the death on social media. And it's interesting because young people today do not listen to rock and roll. They don't listen to rock music.
Right.
When
that's true.
When I was my son's age, it was possible to be a rock band, release your first album, and become the biggest band in the world. Like, become somebody immediately who could sell out FedEx Forum.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses did it. Pearl Jam did it. It was a very normal thing. You release one album. A year ago, nobody knew who you were. Now you can sell out FedEx Forum and every building like FedEx Forum in America, around the world. That was Guns N' Roses. It was Pearl Jam. Nirvana, it was more like two albums, but still got it done. Soundgarden, it was more like three albums, but still you could do it. There's not a rock band on the planet that could release an album, their first album today, and become the biggest thing in the world because kids don't listen to rock music.
It's true. It bothers. It's fine.
Okay, so
that's a different discussion.
So I texted my oldest son today, 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I texted him. I said, "Have you ever heard of Eddie Van Halen?" He said, "No."
Oh.
Never heard of Eddie Van Halen. See, now when I was his age,
I get it.
Like, why would he have heard of Eddie Van Halen?
It's true.
Why would he have? Billie Eilish, like, it was a mini controversy within the past year. She was on with, like, Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon or one of the late night shows, and they were quizzing her about music. It was actually kind of unfair because she's a kid. I mean, she's a kid.
Right.
And they were quizzing her, and it kind of made her look, well, it just made her look like a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, people were clowning her, and the biggest thing people were clowning her on is that she was like, what, Van Halen? Van what? She had never heard of Van Halen, much less Eddie Van Halen. And people were like, how has this person never heard of Van Halen? And it's like, why would she have heard of Van Halen? She's 16, 17 years old.
That's true. I think when you become like a famous artist like that, there's a little more of a responsibility to do your homework.
Well, here's the thing. It was for you, and it was for me. And here's why. Because when we were Billie Eilish's age, rock was still a big, big thing. And so, for me at least, you know, you're listening to Guns N' Roses. You're listening to Pearl Jam. You're listening to Nirvana. You're listening to Soundgarden. You're listening to Alice in Chains. You're listening to Stone Temple Pilots. Even before that, Bon Jovi or Poison or Warrant or whatever. Just like these big rock acts, right? Van Halen was one of them. What that forced us to do, or it didn't force us to do, but it was a natural doorway, was now you're also listening to Led Zeppelin. And you're also listening to The Stones. And you're also listening to Pink Floyd. And you are also listening to, you know, these bigger rock acts from 20, 30 years ago. So, like, I'm 16 years old, and I'm totally into Pearl Jam and Guns N' Roses, but I'm also like got the Led Zeppelin box set mm-hmm. because I listen to rock.
So
you listen to older rock. Well, now kids don't listen to rock. So there's no reason for young people to listen to rock today because they just don't. So guess what you're not doing also? You're not listening to Pearl Jam or Soundgarden or Nirvana. So guess what you're also not doing? Listening to Led Zeppelin or the Stones.
Yeah, that's true.
Like my oldest son would know the Beatles because he grew up around it. Like, it was just in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he probably is familiar with Pearl Jam. There was a time a few months ago, maybe, I asked him if he'd ever heard of Dave Matthews, and he had not.
Like, interesting.
Yeah, like, because why would he? Like, when I was his age, Nirvana would make you listen to old rock music because Nirvana was the biggest thing in the world, or Pearl Jam was the biggest thing in the world, or Guns was the biggest thing in the world. Now, like, Lil Baby's the biggest thing. Lil Baby's Nirvana, right? So you're not going to listen to Lil Baby and then go, ooh, let me go check this Pearl Jam stuff out from 30 years ago. And so it's just growing up in different times, you're not exposed to rock music from the past. So young people listening right now probably had never heard of Eddie Van Halen until today, until they saw it pop up on Instagram. But he was an iconic guitarist for one of the biggest rock acts in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the few bands where I think when you hear it, you know exactly what it is. Like, when you hear a Van Halen song, you know it's a Van Halen song.
Yes.
Like, even if you didn't know, even if you like, I've never heard this song, but this is a Van Halen song. You know,
although their like most famous song ever, he's playing the keyboards instead of the guitar, but whatever.
and then they were in the video age on MTV, so you get Jump.
That's
and
true.
Hot
yeah.
for Teacher, these massive videos. And then it's one of the few bands where you could change lead singer and still be big. Like, that's not a normal thing. Like, Van Halen was able to do it. You go from David Lee Roth to Sammy Hagar. I don't think it was the same band, but they still have big hits with Sammy Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
Big hits. Other bands have tried that before. Guns N' Roses tried to be Guns N' Roses without Axl. That didn't work.
That didn't work, right.
You can't play anywhere. Then you get Axl and Slash, put them on stage together. Now you're selling out football stadiums.
Yeah. Black Sabbath did it with Ozzy and Ronnie James Dio.
Alice in Chains tried to do Alice in Chains without Layne Staley.
Yeah, it didn't. They still like had. They weren't as successful as previously.
Not even close.
No,
they couldn't do anything.
Right.
I mean, they sounded the same. Like, if you closed your eyes, it sounded like Alice in Chains.
That's true.
But it just, for whatever reason, Layne Staley's not there. It doesn't work. Blind Melon on a lower level
mm-hmm.
tried to do it without Shannon Hoon. Just doesn't work.
Can't do it.
Even if you get somebody who can sing all the songs, it just doesn't work. The interesting thing about Van Halen is they went from, like, when Journey needs a new lead singer, they get somebody who sounds, it sounds the same. Sammy Hagar sounds nothing like David Lee Roth. And yet they were still able to sell albums and have big hits. And a big part of that was Eddie Van Halen. My favorite Eddie Van Halen story, at least one of them, I tweeted this earlier so people might know it. And there surely people knew it before I tweeted. I don't think I was breaking news for everybody, but I don't think most people knew it. He played the solo on Michael Jackson's Beat It. Did you know that before today?
Yes.
Okay. He played the solo on that. And as the story goes, he was called. Quincy Jones called them. They were working on this album,
mm-hmm.
Thriller. And Eddie Van Halen thought he was getting prank called. He was like, really? You want me to play on a Michael Jackson song? They're like, no, this is really Quincy Jones. And I'm dead serious. We've got the song basically done, but we want a solo and we want you to do it. And it took a minute for him to realize this is really Quincy Jones and they are really asking me to do this. So he said, sure, I'll do it. For nothing. He did it for nothing. It's one of the one of the biggest songs in
ever.
Certainly of the 80s, maybe ever. And Eddie Van Halen played on it and yet didn't ask for a penny. And apparently, like the story is, Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones went to Eddie Van Halen's house, and they knocked it out right there. And I went back and listened to it today, and I never knew this part. Right before the solo starts, there's a mm-hmm. there's like a knocking.
Yep.
And
Macaulay Culkin.
That's not it. Do you think that's it?
What?
You think the knocking is Macaulay Culkin?
What is it?
There was the initial story rumor was that it was somebody knocking on a door at Eddie Van Halen's studio at his home, and they just left it in. What the actual story is, best I could tell, is that Michael Jackson was banging on a drum kit, and they just
they left it.
And they just decided to leave it in. But yeah, the solo on Beat It was Eddie Van Halen, died today at the age of 65. Jeff Calkins up next.
Memphis and the Mid-South's number one place for sports and the home of the Jeff Calkins Show. Weekday mornings, 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. WMFS FM and HD1 Margaret. WMFS Memphis. Live on the radio.com app.
This pandemic has taken away many things. It's robbed us from our day-to-day, kept us from our work and play, and erased our views of regular, standard, and normal. But it's taught us a lot as well, including what and who matters most. That's why it's more important than ever to help protect your loved ones from the flu this season. Make a flu shot appointment for yourself and the people you care about most at Kroger.com/flu. At Kroger Health, we believe that your people are our people.
Hey, listeners, it's Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite Pest Control. It's fall, y'all. The kids left the bugs behind, bed bugs, ants, spiders. We take care of it all. Give us a call at 388-0852. That's 388-0852, or visit inman-murphy.com.
I didn't feel so well, so I searched my symptoms on Google, and now I'm being followed by uncomfortable ads. I hate feeling like my personal data is being bought and sold. I downloaded DuckDuckGo and saw a difference right away. Take back your privacy with DuckDuckGo.
Hey, it's Eric Hasselton from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show.
I got a tweet from Ralph. He said, I love you, Gary, but your son not knowing Eddie Van Halen is on you. Is it my fault my son doesn't know Eddie Van Halen? Here's what I would say. Do people, like, Van Halen seems like to me something you either grew up with or you never got into, but you might randomly hear a song somewhere in an arena or somewhere else. Like, are people really just rocking Van Halen albums in their house in the year 2020?
I don't
because the sound is so, it sounds very time-specific. Like, Van Halen sounds like Van Halen. It also sounds, if we're being honest, like the 80s.
I agree with that. Yep.
Whereas, like, if you listen to the Beatles just sound like the Beatles, and it's almost timeless. But Van Halen seems very, very time-specific. Like, I don't sit around my house listening to Guns N' Roses albums either, even though I grew up on those things, because they sound like a time that like, like a time from a while ago.
Yep.
Even though when I hear the songs, I still love them, but I don't, like, sit around the house listening to those things anymore. So I don't have any reason to be listening to Van Halen at my house. But
maybe y'all probably should tonight.
Maybe tonight we'll sit down and
educate them.
Maybe we'll sit, all the whole family will sit down tonight and watch our King LeBron and listen to Van Halen. I don't know. Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Joins me every day after 5. He's here right now. Jeff Calkins, would any of your sons know Eddie Van Halen?
God, no.
Right.
Would I know Eddie Van Halen?
You don't?
Practically no.
You don't know Eddie Van Halen?
No, I mean, I know a little bit. You know, I know Jump. You know, I know that.
Right.
But I wasn't listening to Eddie Van Halen. You know, that was not – it was exactly my time. Like, I think 1983 was a – I think that's when Jump came out, honestly. Plus, that's when he did the solo on Beat It.
Right.
And or Thriller, whatever.
It was Beat It on the Thriller album.
Yeah, right. So that was all 83, and that was the year I graduated from college. So it was my time, but it was not my taste. Let's just say that. But it is amazing. I'm sitting here reading a obit of Eddie Van Halen. Like, what a fascinating dude. Like, so he's born in the Netherlands. You know that? Does everyone know that? Do you know he's born in the Netherlands?
I think I knew he wasn't born an American. Just like President Obama.
So then, and his mother is, whatever. So his dad, they move here They moved to, his mother's from a homemaker from Dutch colonial Indonesia. So they moved. He was born Edward Logic Van Halen in the Dutch city of, I can't pronounce it. They moved to Pasadena when he's seven. His father works as a janitor and a dishwasher and plays the clarinet and saxophone at weekend gigs. So that's how he gets into music. He actually bought a drum kit with a newspaper route. Like, that's how dated, you know, whatever. He had a newspaper route. He bought a drum kit, and he was the one who was playing the drums, but then his brother picked up the sticks and was better at the drums, so that's why Eddie picked up the guitar. And evidently, so he does this stuff. Kiss, under the first album was paid for by Kiss. Like, they underwrote the first album, and just all kinds of things. You know where he was when he was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2007?
I'm not sure.
Rehab.
Yeah.
He was in rehab when he was inducted then. And you know what he died of?
Throat cancer.
Yeah, and he smoked. He blamed his dad for smoking because he said, according to this, I'm suddenly an Eddie Van Halen expert because I'm reading this in the Washington Post, but he was evidently of that band. He was not the biggest partier. He said, I did blow, I drank, I smoked, and then I went to my room and wrote music. Like, that's what I did. I got high, I got trashed, and then I went to my room and wrote music. But he was like the quiet one of the group. And he said, I would be nervous getting on stage. And I asked my father, who played clarinet, and he gave me a drink and a cigarette and said, here, you'll feel better. He said, and it worked. And so, anyway, that's obviously why he had throat cancer, although he blamed it. He lost a third of his tongue to throat cancer at one point. He blamed it on holding a pick in his mouth while he played guitar. I don't think the Surgeon General necessarily would agree with that diagnosis, but I'm not here to, you know, listen, we all make our mistakes in life.
We certainly do.
He's a fascinating dude, absolutely fascinating. And all the conflicts in that freaking band, holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, he married Valerie Bertinelli. I know her work.
That is true.
She was a cutie.
Yes, yes. They were married, I think, for a long time.
Quite a while.
Right.
In her memoir, she blamed addiction and philandering on both of their parts. And infidelity on both of their parts.
Yeah,
that was good of her.
That'll
like,
get
she didn't
you.
Just blame him.
Yeah.
You know, like, she didn't just say it was Eddie. It was, you know, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Hey, all ex-wives should be so... so fair as to point out it wasn't just me. There was an interesting story that came out about him about 5 years ago. He had talked to Chuck Klosterman. And this had created headlines. I just wanted to remember if I remembered it correctly, so I Googled it, and I did. He said that he never, like, they're just randomly talking, and I guess in the context of this conversation, it was like, so what are you listening to now? Like, I remember somebody asked Axl Rose one time, like early 90s. So, is there any new stuff you're listening to? And he said, there's this new thing that I just heard, and it's going to be the biggest thing in the world. And it's this one guy, his name's Trent Reznor, and his band is Nine Inch Nails. And then, like, that helped Nine Inch Nails become a thing. Elton John on Larry King one time, when Ryan Adams was very, like, just sort of a alt-country niche. Like, I might know him, but, like, the mainstream, like, you know, people who aren't into that kind of music wouldn't know him. He was on Larry King, and he was like, so what do you, who do you listen to? Who do you respect? And Elton John said, there's this kid from North Carolina named Ryan Adams that I really love, and that, like, helped Ryan Adams' career. So Chuck Klosterman's talking to Eddie Van Halen about 5 years ago, and he's like, so what are you listening to now? Like, what kind of music do you listen to? He said, I don't listen to music. He's like, what do you mean you don't listen to music? He's like, I don't listen to music. He's like, you mean you don't listen to new music? He's like, no, I don't listen to music. I've never really listened to music. And so this, like, Klosterman starts sort of asking more questions. What he finds out is that Eddie Van Halen literally means he does not listen to music. He's like, when we would go on tour with bands, I don't know their music. He said, if you asked me to try to sit down and write a contemporary music album right now, I wouldn't be able to do it because I have no idea what it sounds like. I don't listen to music. I've never heard Radiohead. I've never heard Mariah Carey. I don't know Britney Spears. I know who these people are, but I've never heard any of their songs. Like, even in the car, he did not listen to music, which is just
What's weird about that is you know, his son is named Wolf.
Right.
And he's the one who and that he's named Wolfgang after Mozart.
Right.
So it's weird that he would be naming his, you know, son after a musician. Oh, well, his dad was a musician. If he didn't, maybe I don't know.
Well, what he would say is, he did say sometimes he listens to Yo-Yo Ma because he loves the sound of the cello. But like the right. Idea that he would be listening to any sort of music, and it's not just like, I don't, you know, sometimes you'll get these old rock guys and they're like, I can't listen to rap, or either they'll say like, rap's my favorite, hip hop's right. my favorite now. But like every once in a while it'll be like, that's not music, I don't listen to. It wasn't, I don't listen to hip hop or I don't listen to country. It was like, I literally listen to nothing, which is just a weird thing to think. Like who listens to nothing? And like Eddie Van Halen,
right.
apparently, even like I don't listen to any new music. There's a lot of people like that, but like who listens to nothing? Eddie Van Halen apparently said he listened to absolutely no music.
To absolutely nothing. He also said, by the way, on his last tour was 2015, and that was his brother, his son, and David Lee Roth was right. on this tour, but he didn't speak to David Lee Roth.
Right.
Like they had no relationship then, even as they're on tour. And he was asked why. He told Billboard magazine, I think it's now built into people's DNA that it just won't be Van Halen if it's not Roth's voice. You make music for people, otherwise just play in your closet. And how do you reach the most people? By giving them the band that they know. To do it any other way would be selfish. That actually strikes me as, like, sensible. You know, like, they don't like each other, they have no relationship, but they realize that people want to hear them. So they, you know, that actually seems to me to be a useful way to think about it. Anyway,
well, no, I mean, like
pretty young. Uh-huh.
There are other bands who have operated that way. Like I don't know that. Like I think Axl and Slash are like can be around each other now, but the motivation for reuniting Guns N' Roses wasn't, hey, let's let bygones be bygones. Like somebody sat down with them and said, you could make $1 billion. You know, you can sell out football stadiums, and so it's like, okay, we'll just go stand somewhat close to each other on stage. We'll play all these songs that we wrote 20 years ago, and we'll sell 65,000 tickets every other night. And that's what they've been doing for years now. And again, I think like there is a, you know, there's a part in the show we went and saw him in Nashville where like, you know, Axl will put his arm around Slash, but you don't know if they're really like, in fact, I think I read, it's not like they leave stage and then go have dinner together, or they wake up in the morning and have breakfast together, or they're texting each other throughout the day. Like, it's like, hey, I'll see you at soundcheck, and really, I probably won't even be there for that. We'll have Axl. I don't think Axl is at soundchecks. I think he has somebody stand in for him. And then it's like, when it's time to go on stage, we'll go on stage. We'll play these songs for 2 hours, and that's our job. We don't have to be best friends to do that. And, like, I don't want to say a lot of bands, but, like, certainly Van Halen did it, and Guns N' Roses, on some level, did the same thing. It can work that way. If you're just, hey, this is our job, where we can make the most money. Like, have you ever had a job where you have to spend 2 hours sitting next to somebody that you don't really care for? I know you have.
People are going to think you're talking about John Martin or Jeffrey. You are not.
No, I do have somebody in my head, and I bet it's the same person you have in your head.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we didn't get along at the end. Yeah.
Talking to Jeff Coggins.
Mostly because he didn't like me. Listen, the only reason I really don't like people is if they don't like me. Like, that's the biggest sin, you know? Anyway. Back to the original question, I don't really think, like, how much are you responsible for your kid's musical taste, you know, or to exposing your kid to music? Do you think that's part of your job as a parent, is to expose them to music? Because if so, I do think your job as a parent is to, and we all do, we expose our kids to all kinds of things, right? Like, but we all pick different things. Like, some people sign their kids up for soccer. They say, well, my kids play soccer because they love soccer. No, in the end, you decided at 3, they didn't love soccer at 3. Now, maybe they either love it or hate it, and you go from there. But you decided whether to do taekwondo or soccer. A lot of those things, you make up your mind. Like, are you going to take them? Maybe you expose them to the theater. Maybe you take them to the Orpheum. Maybe you take them to movies. Maybe you take them to concerts. Maybe you know, whatever. Maybe you go on canoe trips. Maybe, like, but we all decide what our kids are going to be you know, what will constitute the input in their life, and then they go from there. But like Chris Harrington knows everything about music. Like in one, he comes on my show every day at 10, and he picks a new song that's relevant, and like his and that's just because Chris Harrington in his teens decided music was really important to him, and he read everything he could get his hands on and listened to everything he could get his hands on. And I think that's how it works with music. I don't really think that's a parent's job.
That's my favorite thing about when you bring Chris on is that every once in a while, sometimes you'll ask him what song it is, and then he'll say it, then you'll just move on. Sometimes he'll say it, and then you'll ask him a question, and no matter who wrote the song, no matter what song it is or what question you ask, he actually has an answer for you. It's incredible.
I prepared. I said, really? What was he like? Whatever, you know, and boom, yeah.
You'll be like, so, exactly what day was Johnny Cash born, and where did he live when he was 8? And Chris will be like, well, you know, it was this small town in Arkansas. Like, he always has an answer for it.
Is it your job?
No, here's what I think happens.
Go ahead, yeah.
I think your kids don't become interested in whatever you want them to be interested in. They, on some level, become interested in what you expose them to. And so I can remember, like, walking into Aiden's room one day, and he was listening to Kanye West. Now, College Dropout came out when Aiden was 1, so it's not like he grew up listening to Kanye West, but because Kanye West was always playing in my car, edited version for the most part, he got exposed to that, and then he liked it. And so then in addition to listening to the young hip-hop stars that are big stars right now, he also has a certain level of appreciation for Kanye West and for Pusha T and for other things that maybe 17-year-olds don't necessarily listen to. So it was what I exposed him to combined with what a 17-year-old will listen to in the year 2020. And I guess I would say in my car or in our backyard, like, Aiden might be familiar with Wilco because he's heard that, or Ryan Adams because he's heard that.
Do you have music on in your house?
Yeah.
I never have music on in my house. Never have music on in my house. Never in my house or my backyard. And in the car, honestly, I listen to talk, either news or sports, more often than I listen to music. I don't. In fact, maybe I'm Eddie Van Halen. I don't have a lot of music on in my life.
Anytime we're in the backyard, not anytime, but most times, you know, like back when people would come over and we'd hang out by the pool, we would have music on. So, like, you would be exposed to it there. It's very normal in our house for, like, Alexa, play the new Taylor Swift album. So, like, that, you know, there's music on sometimes. So, but, like, I don't know that people, like, I grew up on Van Halen, Guns N' Roses, Pearl Jam, all of that stuff. But that is not the stuff we play in our home. Like, we don't wake up and I'm like, Alexa, play Pearl Jam's 10.
They heard the Beatles because of you. Mentioned the Beatles.
Every one of my kids would know the Beatles because we do, you know, the Beatles channel is pre-programmed in both of our cars. And, we flip through, and maybe the Beatles are on. And like, every one of my kids, even Lou at 3 years old, would know the Beatles. But would not. None of my kids would know Van Halen. But that's because I've exposed them to the Beatles. And I just don't know who in 2020 is like listening to Van Halen nonstop in their home. Like, you got to really be stuck in the 80s to be listening. Like, I do think you can be listening. Like, it's very reasonable to be listening to the Beatles. Maybe even the Stones.
When would you listen to Van Halen? If you're working out, you can listen to Van Halen, right?
The only time I would hear Van Halen in the year 2020, it would probably have to be I'm somewhere and Van Halen is being played. So you're at a bar and Van Halen comes on. Or you're at a sporting...
Yeah, but when would it not be weird if an individual, I'm not saying you, like if an individual still listens to Van Halen on his iPhone, why would he listen to Van Halen?
It's just...
Don't think there's any reason? How about if he's lifting weights or something, you know? Can you listen to it then?
I mean, you can do whatever, you can listen to whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me. I just,
right.
I don't...
You don't ever see the need. You don't see the reason.
No.
Like, Van Halen.
No. Like maybe if you listen to a classic rock station and then, oh, here's a Van Halen song. Like, you just have
right,
classic.
It's on, right.
Yeah, like, yeah, it might just come on. But the idea that you would just put on Van Halen's debut album this afternoon, like, I'm sure somebody does, but not me. I don't. But I did drive in today listening to some Van Halen just because I, you know, it was on my mind. And I wanted to, you know, so I went and listened to Jump and Panama and Running with the Devil. And I listened to the Beat It solo. And so, but that's the first time I've listened to Van Halen intentionally in 20 years, 25 years. It's had to be forever. You know, the Van Halen, to me, in 2020, Van Halen is something that you stumble into. It's not something that you listen to. Like, we're not on the golf. Okay, well, we play music on the golf course. We all have speakers on our golf carts, and we're all playing music. Nobody has ever put a Van Halen album on, ever. Not once. So, so to circle back to the kids thing, I think it's what you expose them to. So my kids will watch baseball because I exposed them to baseball. They'll watch the Grizzlies because they've been exposed to the Grizzlies. They'll recognize the Beatles or Taylor Swift. I'll tell you the thing that's having a – this is probably a happening to a lot of parents. My kids – well, now they are not allowed to post on TikTok. My young guys, I have no idea what my oldest dude's doing. Who knows? He's 17. But my little guys, they can't post on TikTok, but they can watch TikTok. So whatever song is big on TikTok that somebody's making videos of, like, they know every word to that song. That's the thing. You know what kids are most influenced by today? TikTok and YouTube. It's not even your parents anymore. It's TikTok and YouTube.
TikTok and YouTube. Well, Fishman was talking about there was a survey done of teenagers recently, and they watched Netflix. They watch YouTube as much as Netflix, not more. Teenagers today watch YouTube as much as Netflix, and TikTok, I think, was number two behind. It's for social behind Snapchat, and then maybe Instagram was third. Is that possible? Would that make sense? TikTok was two.
Oh, I've said this before. Aiden has a flat screen on his wall, DirecTV box, every channel available to him, and I bet you it has not been turned on in 2 years. He does not watch television in any sort of traditional way. He will watch. He'll watch stuff on Netflix or Hulu or whatever, but everything he watches on his phone. He does not. He has a, you know, 60-inch television on his wall. He doesn't turn it on. There's, like, I can remember being young, and what you would do is you'd get out of school, you'd sit down on the couch, and you would flip through the channels. Do you remember flipping through the channels? Like, hey, I'm just.
I flipped through the channel. No, we used to have to walk up. Who's going to go turn the TV on?
Oh, yeah,
like,
no, I even remember that.
I remember that. Like, you change it. No, I'm going to go change it. You know, like that. We did that.
The idea that a 17-year-old would be just flipping through the channels to see what's on is just not the way kids consume.
Really? I flipped through the channels. Do you still flip through the channels?
Not really.
I do. I sit here and just flip through the channels. Just start at 1,000 and go up. See what's on.
I don't really. I always kind of know, like, what I'm going to be watching. You know, like
the other thing we used to do, of course, is we used to have stereos, and they were like two big giant ass speakers.
Right.
And I had a turntable, and then you'd have a separate receiver, and you'd go get all the components from your stereo store and whatever else. And it was these giant ass speakers. And, like, none of that, certainly none of that, you ain't got any of that anymore.
No, now you just got it in your pocket. Whole thing's in your pocket. You got AirPods in, you know. You've got little AirPods in, and you got a little device in your pocket, and you listen to everything in the world is available
except
to you.
Except for Eddie Van Halen.
Except for nobody's listening to Eddie Van Halen. It is wild. Like, this is at least my theory. Because rock music isn't big anymore for young people, it doesn't lead to young people listening to older rock music. Like, when I was young, if you listen to Metallica or Guns N' Roses or Pearl Jam or Nirvana or Soundgarden or Alice in Chains or whatever, it was a clear gateway to Led Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones and Pink Floyd and Jimi Hendrix. And so then you know, I was 17 years old, and I knew just as much about Jimi Hendrix, even though Jimi Hendrix was dead before I was born, as I knew about Axl Rose. But because now young people don't listen to rock, there's no reason to listen to older rock. So you don't listen to Guns N' Roses or Van Halen or Metallica. You surely don't listen to Led Zeppelin or the Rolling Stones. Like, you might, the Rolling Stones are such a big deal still. Like, I do think people probably just put on a Rolling Stones album, just like they probably put on a Beatles album. So maybe you bump into that. But there is no scenario where I would, I could imagine my kids would be exposed to Van Halen or any of the bands from that era. Just because it's not what they don't listen to rock. Kids don't listen to rock music anymore. They just don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, yeah. It's, you know, which is too bad because you'd like for them to go back and listen to the things. Like, I'd love to get into my son's car and when he turned it on, there was like a Nirvana song on. And I'd be like, oh, I remember when this came out. And I could tell him some story. But like, when I get into the car, it's Moneybag Yo. You know,
I'd love to be able to get into my car and have this car and have someplace to put my feet as well as damn trash everywhere.
Oh.
Just totally. Is your kid's car clean?
No. 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 And his room's not clean. I go in his room every day and I say, yo, man, he has a laundry chute in his room. He really just has to throw it into a chute. That's all. Like, just drop it. All you have to do is pick it up and then drop it. I'm like, yo, man, like, let's take your clean clothes, put them up, dirty clothes. Drop them down the laundry chute. This Sonic cup that's been laying there for 4 days probably doesn't need to be there anymore. And I ask him every day, and I try to be nice because I try to remember of all the issues I could be having with a 17-year-old, I'm really, like, I don't want to be naive, but we haven't run into any big issues yet. Like, he's doing well in school. He's motivated. He's focused. He wants big things. He's thinking big. So I try not to nitpick him because he won't clean up his room. But at some point, just, like, why is that Sonic cup still laying in your floor?
We always come back to this, GP. You want people to pick stuff up.
Just pick stuff up.
I did. I was having a conversation with Fishman once about this. He thinks you just got to get over it. People aren't going to pick stuff up.
Well, I promise you, everybody in my house agrees with Fishman. Everybody in my house agrees with Fishman. So, like, last night, I swear to God, it's been five straight days. I've been like, hey, man, when you get a minute, if you could, like, just drop your dirty clothes down the laundry chute and pick that stupid Sonic cup up, that would be great. And so... His response is always, it doesn't bother you. I mean, he says, it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me. Why should it bother you?
I said, because when I see it, it bothers me. He says, well, then don't come in here. Like, you know, we got a big house. You don't have to be here. I'm like, come on, man. So last night, I walk in, and I'm like, yo, man, this room still looks exactly the way it looked yesterday, except worse. I was like, can you please clean up your room? And he's like, why do I need to do that? It's just a waste of time. He thinks it's a waste of time. His approach is it's a waste of time to do something that's
going to get dirty.
It's going to get dirty again, so it's a waste of time.
It's like making your bed.
So that is his. You sound like him. And so I said, listen, man, I'm not trying to yell at you. I don't know what to do, but like, if you don't clean up your room tonight, like, I'm going to take this because he plays on his PC, his gaming computer. He'll play games on it sometimes. I'm like, listen, man, I don't know what to do, but I can't take your car away because you got to go to school. I'm going to take this computer out of your room. If you don't clean up your room tonight. And you know what he said? Take it. I don't care.
Take it.
And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, what am I supposed to punch him? I don't know what to do. So I just
I just
took the computer out of his room. And he doesn't care. Nobody. That's the problem at my house. Nobody cares if I'm frustrated or if I take
it.
He literally said, he didn't, like, his options were, okay, Dad, I'll pick it up in a second. Or just take the computer. I don't care. And he said, just take the computer. So I was like, okay, I'll just take it. And he was like, okay. And I was expecting him to go, say, hold up, I'll pick up the cup. Nothing. I still got the computer. It's mine now. I guess it's mine now. It's all of this is impossible. I don't even know. Anyway, I'm going to go home tonight and listen to Van Halen with my kids. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
You,
when's the last time you put on a Van Halen album, Bennett?
Before today, probably. I'd say within the year.
Really?
Yeah.
You'll just like put on it. So maybe I'm.
Yeah, Van Halen 2. I was probably within the year. Listened to it. Yeah.
Maybe I'm the one who's out of touch here. Maybe I'm the one who's lost who I was.
I liked, but I think, I consider myself a music fan, so I like to, you know, revisit all kinds of stuff. So
I just don't go back to that stuff that often.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. There's a Pearl Jam station on Sirius XM, so I'll hit it every once in a while. And then I'll bump into it. So I'll bump into a Pearl Jam song every once in a while. But, like, you think about the bands that I listened to when I was that age.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin, Stones. And then bands that were actually out, you know, out big right then. Guns, Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Nirvana, Alice in Chains. I just don't listen. I don't. I never think to. You know what? On tonight when I'm driving home, I'm going to put on, Alice in Chains Dirt. I'm just not going to do it. But here's the thing. Every once in a while, when I would be at back when you would go to people's houses and like hang out and stuff, I would be at somebody's house or we'd be playing cards or something, some sort of setting, and somebody would put on one of those albums, and I always enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow, I remember I love this album, but I haven't listened to it in 20 years.
I think, too, like, and this is just how it is now. Like, I have a ton of friends that collect records and stuff, but I can't get involved in, like, collecting anything else. I collect too much crap as it is, but the way I consume music now is Apple Music. Like, I quit buying CDs when CDs quit being a thing.
I have an Apple subscription. When something comes out, I listen to it.
It's Apple Music. And so with Apple Music, you get, like, the recommends, like, you know, and it could be all different kinds of stuff. So if you listen to, you know, Van Halen, too, like I said, like, you're getting all kinds of recommendations the next day. And so you kind of just go down that rabbit hole. That's what I've found.
I went into one the other day. I heard a White Stripes song. And then I just said, all right, I'll put on the White Stripes. And I was like, man, I love the White Stripes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I haven't listened to them in forever. But, like, I put
so
it.
So then you want to go through the albums.
Well, I just, like, we were on the golf course. And was like, I put on White Stripes, like, on the drive to the golf. I don't know how it happened, but somehow White Stripes popped in my head. And I put it on the golf course. And I was just like, oh, man, I love all these songs. Like, I love this album. But I don't do that too often. I'm mostly listening to talk. Like, on my drive home most nights, I listen, honestly, I flip back and forth because there's two turns to the left or two turns to the right, CNN and Fox News.
Yeah.
And I listen to both because I want to hear how different they're telling me what's going on. So for those people who are like, oh, Parrish, he only listens to what? No, I don't, actually. I listen to Fox News and CNN. Like, I just flip back and forth because I want to be able to hear what my neighbors are hearing to try to figure out why they think the way they think. Like, what are they listening to?
Uh-huh.
So I listen to both, but, like, that's what I listen to on my drive home most nights. So I don't listen to a lot of – I just don't say, let's play out, an old Stone Temple Pilots album. But if I hear them, I enjoy them. Like today, I put on Van Halen, driving in.
It's great.
I like those songs, you know? So anyway, rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Be back in a second.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. You don't feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you're looking for a new dentist, look no further than the Smile Center. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients, and needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients, and they're offering Zoom teeth whitening specials with free consultations through the end of September. So if you're unhappy with your smile, the color of your teeth just isn't quite right, let the Smile Center fix that for you. Appointments are available right now. You can schedule one by calling 901-309-1333. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. That's the Smile Center on the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030.
Hey, everybody. This is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it, we guarantee your partner will also notice notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility On Demand. You only need to take red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 1-800-789-3221. 1-800-789-3221. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take red. 1-800-789-3221.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
WFH, you know this acronym, work from home. We're all living it because we're all doing practically everything from home these days. Working, schooling, gymming, all under the same roof. And if you have Xfinity XFi, you have the internet built to handle it all. With XFi, you get the fastest speeds for all your streaming needs, reliable Wi-Fi all throughout your home, parental controls, the ability to pause your Wi-Fi with a push of a button, and the Xfinity app to control it all. Listen, your house is the center of life right now. Make sure your internet can keep it all going. That's Xfinity XFi, and it's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $25 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Go to Xfinity.com or call 1-800-XFINITY today. Internet offer requires EcoBill and AutoPay, ends 11-22-20. Restrictions apply. New Performance Starter Internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Step my money fast and go fast.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which is owned by Melissa Cookston, an eight-time world champion, first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame, and somebody who is starring in a new reality show on Netflix right now. It's called The American Barbecue Showdown. If you haven't checked it out yet, you need to check it out. Netflix.com, The American Barbecue Showdown. Melissa Cookston, who owns Memphis Barbecue Company, is a judge on the successful show. You can watch it right now, Netflix.com. At Memphis Barbecue Company, ribs are cooked multiple times a day. That way you're getting a fresh-from-the-cooker quality regardless of the time. So you could be there at 11 a.m. or 9:30 at night. You're still going to get fresh from the cooker quality when you order those ribs. Everything on the menu is of the highest quality, and the address is 709 DeSoto Cove. So you can punch that into your phone, 709 DeSoto Cove. Here's the simple directions. 709 DeSoto Cove, you're going to get there from Memphis. Take 55 South to the Goodman Road exit. It's right there on your right. You can see it from the interstate, so it's easy to find, easy to get to. They're using UV light technology to ensure all tables are sanitized after every guest so you can feel safe inside, but curbside service remains available if you want it. You can order online right now, memphisbbqco.com. Go check the menu at that website, memphisbbqco.com. It's always sad when somebody significant dies. Let's start there, period, new paragraph. But one of the nice things is you hear all of these stories that get told, that some of which you've never heard before. So that's starting to happen with Eddie Van Halen. Somebody just tweeted this story. Apparently, way back in the day, when Limp Bizkit was a thing, you remember Limp Bizkit?
Yes, very well.
What did they used to do? Roll and roll and roll and roll.
Yeah.
That was Limp Bizkit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was Limp Bizkit.
Roll and roll and roll and roll and roll. Okay, so for whatever reason, Eddie Van Halen was practicing with Limp Bizkit way back in the day. And I'll just read you from this story. It says, Eddie Van Halen apparently was so dismayed by the jam session with Limp Bizkit to the point where he called it, quote, like being a scholar amongst kindergartners. The story gets better. The next day, Eddie Van Halen went to get his gear from the Beverly Hills house, and that's when somebody named Bennett's description goes from here. As the story is being told, Eddie Van Halen goes back to the Limp Bizkit house to get his gear that he had left there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so fed up with Limp Bizkit because he thinks they're a joke. Here's the story as told by somebody. Eddie once bought an assault vehicle from a military auction. It has a shine gun mount on the back and is not legal. But Eddie drove the assault vehicle through L.A. into Beverly Hills, then parked it and left it running on the front lawn of the house Limp Bizkit was rehearsing in. He got out wearing no shirt, his hair in a samurai bun on top of his head, his jeans held up with a strand of rope and combat boots held together by duct tape, and he had a gun in his hand.
Oh, my God.
He says that a-hole, Fred Durst, answered the door, and Eddie Van Halen told this guy Bennett, I put my gun to that stupid effing red hat of his, and I said, where's my S, MF-er? That effing guy just turned to one of his employees and starts yelling at him to grab my S. Eddie Van Halen stood on the front lawn of a residential home in Beverly Hills in broad daylight, smoking a cigarette while holding a gun on Fred Durst as he went back and forth from the house to the assault vehicle, lugging amps and guitars. So
I love that.
Eddie Van Halen in Beverly Hills putting a gun on Fred Durst. So, yeah, a lot of Eddie Van Halen stories. Enjoy them on social media tonight. Be back with Dinner to Go.
There are more ways to win than ever before on the FanDuel Fantasy app. From daily fantasy to new season-long contests, you can play for free or join paid games to compete for real cash prizes. And right now, FanDuel's giving new players 20% on their first deposit, up to $500 in bonus credit added instantly into your new account. Enter now to play in Sunday slate and single-game contest, or you could try your luck in Gridiron Pick'em. Just pick the winners of Sunday's NFL matchups correctly for your chance to earn up to $5,000 every week, absolutely free. And when you win, FanDuel pays out your winnings in as little as 24 hours. If you haven't tried FanDuel yet, what are you waiting for tonight? $1 million Tuesday NBA Finals Game 4 final shot. First place is taking home $200,000. You need to get in, set your lineup before it fills up. You simply download the FanDuel Fantasy app today to get started and claim your deposit bonus of up to $500. Age and location-based restrictions apply. See terms at FanDuel.com.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet, the faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
It's crunchy!
Creamy!
Sweet.
Salty. Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Peanut Bars. Bursting with crunchy peanuts, dipped in creamy nut butter coating.
Delicious.
Nature Valley.
Stanley wanted to sell his home in East Memphis, but he didn't want a lot of showings. Josh Heisall told him no problem. He made Stanley an instant cash offer. Stanley closed in 14 days. There were no showings. His house was sold. That's just one of the latest success stories connected to Josh Heisall. He's the man. With the 45-day guarantee, it's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. Josh is able to do this because he's experienced, effective, someone who could expose your home to the most buyers with the best marketing strategy. Then he knows how to negotiate for the most money possible. But the first step is Josh helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive. Once you guys agree on a price, Josh goes to work. And then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. He can even make you, like he did Stanley, an instant cash offer. You pick. It's totally up to you, and understand it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh does not obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him, no questions asked. He has flexible fees. There are no upfront costs. So if you're trying to sell a home, call the only real estate agent I'd call if I wanted to sell my home. It's Josh Heisall, 461-8147. He's on the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
Love getting prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh? Then shop at Kroger. We give you more ways to save on the fresh you love with tools like the Kroger app, where you can find personalized coupons on top of weekly sales, giving you prices that are lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Right now, you can save on red, white, or black seedless grapes. They're a juicy treat and only 99 cents a pound with card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, everybody? This is Rich Kleiman, co-founder of 35 Ventures, alongside my business partner, Kevin Durant. This week on the Boardroom's Out of Office podcast, I detail my own journey in getting where I am today and where I'm still trying to go.
Hold on, you're working on Fade to Black with Hope. Like, what's his leadership style like? You know what I'm saying?
He really made me pay attention to the details in business and how important that is in terms of how your brand is presented. And I mean, so much of my business acumen, I think, is from watching and learning from so much of him. And you know, like how effortlessly cool he was, and then his instincts with the film, and just like being able to come in and see an edit and know what changes should be made. And you just want to work hard for him, and that's like the best kind of leader. You can listen for free to this episode and more on the Boardroom's Out of Office podcast on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your shows.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hands tied, the power's above me. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just a puppet here. If you want to place blame, then look to the puppeteer. Family.
Looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? Get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. It's a second-generation local agency. Been owned and operated since 1981. It's the home of the Erie Rate Lock. What's that? It is a way to lock in your auto rates indefinitely. Each year you don't have an accident, your deductible drops by $100. Your first accident is forgiven. And let the record show that lower than normal rates are now available, which is great because if recent events have taught us anything, every penny matters, especially when the stock market crashes after the president tweets earlier today. You got a local doctor, a local dentist, a local lawyer. You need your own personal local insurance agent as well. Let it be Elizabeth Rook with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. Two offices in the Memphis area. One is in Lakeland on Canada Road. The other on Highway 51 in Covington. You can reach Elizabeth Rook Insurance by phone. That number is 901-867-SAVE. 901-867-7283. That's Elizabeth Rook Insurance here in Memphis on the web. RookInsurance.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but let's focus on the breaking news out of Washington. Another one. Stephen Miller, senior advisor to the President of the United States, has tested positive for COVID-19. Basically, anybody who's ever met the president has tested positive for COVID-19. He's a super spreader himself. 45th president of the United States, just giving out COVID to everybody who works in the White House. So Stephen Miller is the latest. He will be quarantining for 14 days, they say.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Game 4, NBA Finals, Lakers Heat down in the bubble in Florida. Lakers are currently listed as a 7-point or 7.5-point favorite. The latest news connected to the Miami Heat, Bam Adebayo is planning to play after missing Game 2 and Game 3. Goran Dragic is going to go through warm-ups, and if he can bear the pain, he is going to try to play as well. So it is possible, I don't know about likely, but possible that the Miami Heat will have their normal starting lineup. But at the very least, it should feature Bam Adebayo. We'll wait and see on Goran Dragic. Again, Lakers, 7-point favorites. The total's 219. Tip is scheduled for a little after 8 o'clock. You can watch it on ABC.
What should I watch on TV?
How about Chasing Amy?
Yeah, how about that?
It's on HBO Comedy at 8:40. I told you earlier that yesterday, I was just like last night, I'm sitting around looking for Dinner to Go stuff, and I saw that Chasing Amy was coming on tonight, and I was like, man, I haven't thought about that movie in a long time, but I remember liking it, and I love Joey Lauren Adams. I wonder what she's up to. So when I Googled Joey Lauren Adams, like a first thing that pops up is a picture of Joey and Wright Thompson, who I had talked to earlier in the day, my buddy, who also lives in Oxford. So I talked to Wright about that in the first hour, just sort of randomly stumbling into Joey Lauren Adams last night. But she was the star of Chasing Amy. It was a Kevin Smith film, 1997. Ben Affleck's in it. Jason Lee's in it. Joey was nominated for a Golden Globe. It's a terrific movie.
It is.
It's really funny. So anyway, that's on tonight. HBO Comedy at 8:40. Late Night Circuit. Method Man's on Conan. Jaden Smith is on Jimmy Kimmel. Ruby Rose is on Jimmy Fallon. Jerry Seinfeld's on Stephen Colbert. Bob Woodward is on Seth Meyers, and Whoopi Goldberg is on James Corden.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Jay Billis had a nice column today at ESPN.com about a Miami, Ohio player who transferred to Pitt and had his waiver to play immediately denied. And it's because Miami, Ohio just, A, didn't support it and then lied about it. So Jay caught this coach and athletic director in a lie and hopefully exposed them in a way that will lead to this young man having his waiver approved on appeal. But if you haven't read that yet, I tweeted it out this morning, so you can find it there or at ESPN.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, it'll be Wednesday. So we'll look back at Game 4 of the NBA Finals. We'll have four Major League Baseball playoff games tomorrow. It's going to be a busy day.